Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this morning and give everyone a very warm welcome in their service this morning and in the name of the Lord. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who woke up this morning with sore heads. My dad used to say it, and I used to say it, champagne at night, real pain in the morning. But thank God that we're not interested in what the world's doing, but we're interested in the things of God. And I want to try and bring something this morning to give you hope. And this has been a time of bereavement. The Bible says there's a time for weeping, time for laughter, time for joy, and we've had a time of sorrow. And I want to try and bring something this morning that encourages that in a brother's going, that there's hope. There's hope. And there's life after death. And this maybe wouldn't be the message I'd have normally preached for the new year, but I felt led to just bring this wee message this morning. I think I might have preached this before when my dad went, or similar. And I want to share it again this morning. And it's God's word that gives strength. That's the thing that gives us strength in the time of hope. And you know, a lot of people, when trials come, they don't get into God. They do the opposite. That's what the devil wants. But when the pressure comes on, that's the time to come close to the Lord. A man said to William Branham, he lost his wife, he lost his daughter, he lost them all in a few hours. And every time he prayed, a black sheet came down before him. God wouldn't even answer him. And a man said to him, he said, suppose you give up your faith at this time. And he says, no, that's when I have faith. My faith keeps me at this time. That's when my faith keeps me. And we're still, it's the Lord that we're depending on this morning. Praise God. We can't explain many things. Only the Lord knows the end from the beginning. Well, we just thank the Lord. But I give you a very warm welcome to the first service of our new year. And the Lord bless each one that's come out this morning. Praise God. And maybe some weren't able to come. And I know there's a lot of colds and flus going around. And let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this evening, we're going to have a wee service this evening at 6 to share testimonies. And there's going to be no tea or anything afterwards out of respect for the family. We're just going to have a few testimonies. If you want to read a scripture, share a testimony, come along this evening at 6 and we'll do that. But let's read this, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 to 8. And I want you to really get a hold of this morning, these words, to strengthen and comfort. For we know that of our earthly house, of this tabernacle, were dissolved. We have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that have wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also have given us an earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing whilst we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For if we walk by faith, not by sight, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Let us bow our heads this morning, praise God. Heavenly Father, we have come to bless you and to magnify your name this morning. Lord, we've come to speak your name over your people. The name that's far above every other name. The name of Jesus Christ. We thank you that there's life and life in you. Even when we look on you, we can be saved. We bless you this morning, Lord Jesus, for the great provision of eternal life. We thank you for these words of comfort. Absent from the body and present with the Lord. God, this was your design, your purpose From the very beginning, from the very foundation of the world, Lord, you had a perfect plan. And your plan is always perfect because you are the perfect God, the immutable one that needs to take counsel with no other. For your word never changes. It's yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray for a mighty strength and courage to come upon your people at this time. Pray for a mighty breakthrough of the anointing power of the Holy Ghost even in this house. I do take the Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you that you do. I pray you bind every work of the devil. Spoil his goods. And I'm asking you for souls this year, Lord, that many will be slain to the Lord. That many will be captured from the devil and conquered for Christ. In Jesus' precious name. Acclaim everyone, Lord, that's ordained to come. In the name of the Lord. Bless everyone in this room. Pray especially, Lord, for Sister Jenny and all the family. Strengthen her. Bless her. Oh, God, be with her in a special way. May she know your arms. May she know your presence. Oh, Lord, in the days and weeks and months that lay ahead, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, for those sick, touch them and heal them in the name of the Lord. For the nurses, for the doctors, bless them in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, bless your people. Bless the children, all the boys and all the girls in the name of Jesus Christ, and save every one of them in Jesus' precious name. And now, Lord, bless your word and give us strength from your word and courage in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Don't sit yet. I want you to shake hands, whoever's beside you, and say, God's going to bless you this year like never before. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Just may I say that God bless you. I want to read, first of all, this morning a quotation from a message called Things That Are To Be. And I want to really concentrate, and I won't be long this morning. I want to just show you some things about this old body. And I want to tell you that this old body is only a coat. And there was a wee man, and he used to sing, your body is only a suitcase for the soul. And I worked with him. I worked with this wee man, and he loved Willie Nelson. And Willie Nelson used to sing that song. And unfortunately, that wee man that I'm talking about, Brother Yule knows him. I come home from Australia in 2014 and I had to bury him. And I took that as my text at the funeral service. And he said, tell Big Tommy not to take long, but to give it to them. That's what the message he left. So I was only about 10 minutes, but that's all I needed. Because God does not need long to get the truth over. I'm telling you, there's no point having someone dragged out for hours. It doesn't take long to tell the gospel. John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. What arranges this morning, this old earthly tabernacle here, you know what it is. This body is like an old coat that you wear, a coat that you once wore. But now you have one so much better. You don't use it anymore. What do? You hang it in the closet. For you've got one better. You've got a better coat that's more up to date than the one you used to wear. That's the worn out. What? Garment. You're on the inside there. That garment only done what? It bore your image, see, but you don't need it anymore. You've hung it up. It's a rag now. And that's the way this old body is. It bore the image of the heavenly, yet it is not you. You're on the inside of that body. The Spirit of God is in the inside of that body. That's what makes the outside come into subjection, because the inside is pulling it. See, bringing it into line with the Word of God, you're inside of yourself, your being. This body is just an old coat someday. What will you do with it? Only in this garment, you're only here for a while. That is like the earthly garment, the body. Your real body, the real self, is in the inside of the old coat. You know, when he's mentioning his own name, you can call William Branham or Susie Jones or whatever it is, somebody, it will hang in Earth's hall of the memory. But yonder in the grave, someday we'll put a tombstone up. Here lies Reverend Joe John, or whoever their name is. It'll be, lie there a memorial of you. The people just seen you in this. And what was your real you was in the inside of that. But the old coat itself bore the image of the heavenly. So when a man or a woman is really born again in the Spirit of God, the real self's inside. It's the flesh. You might think your brain and your flesh is controlling you, and it is till the part. But there is something within you that's pulling you this morning. And that's the Spirit of God, that you're birthed to the Spirit of God. You're born again in the Spirit of God. And even though your body will go to the grave if the Lord doesn't come, your spirit will go to be with the Lord, absent from the body and present with the Lord. The old body's like the coat that you hang up, but the Bible says you have a new body. The Lord's another body for you. There's Paul talks about the bodies celestial and heavenly bodies, and there's different bodies that the Bible talks about. And he even mentions about the wheat. You throw a wee seed into the ground, and that wee seed goes into the ground, a seed, but it eventually it comes up and it forms something because there's life in that seed. And when you're born again of the incorruptible seed of God, you're birthed. And even though this body can die and go to the dust, that's not the real you. You're still living. You're still alive. Let me say, first of all, let's consider what Paul says here. If our earthly house to this tabernacle, this old coat, were dissolved, he says. And this was dissolved. He did not fear that he himself would be dissolved. He had no fear about it. He was hoping for the Lord to come. We're hoping for the Lord to come, but we might not see the rapture. We preach about the rapture, we preach about the catching up, but some of us might not go in it. We could die before we go in it physically. But we still hope. Because we know it's just a body. The old coat that's been thrown off. And we're going to be with the Lord. The changing of the coat which he looked forward to is known amongst us by the name of death. But Paul called it the dissolving of the earthly house. That's what Paul said in the Bible here. It is the dissolving of the earthly house. But God's another house waiting for you. Another body. Even Jesus said he will come to this temple. Now what Jesus meant was God prepared a body and he came to it. Made of a woman, the Bible says. But God came to that body that was made of a woman. And that was Emmanuel, God in flesh. And our body's the same. It could go to the grave, but there's a resurrection. He does not say, if I were to be destroyed, or if I were to be annihilated. He knows no such thing as that. Because he knows there's life after death. He feels assured that he himself is perfectly safe. Paul has no fear of the sudden end. You know, he's content in himself, and he's clear in this text this morning, in verse 1 of our first scripture here. For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. You see, this first body came because of the union of our parents came together, and we are born in the natural. And there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And a man and a woman needs to be born again to have that eternal life. And when you're born again, you have eternal life, and you're going to have a spiritual body that will never die. Because it's eternal life in it. That's eternal. It's no beginning. It's no ending. It's eternal. Amen. Time doesn't count till it. My, when you think this morning that a brother Ian's in the glory, and you think of my dad was almost 80 years of age and Ian was 50, but today they're the same age. They're the same age. What a miracle. That's the power of God. And I tell you, when Jesus Christ comes, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That old coat that's there, even in the grave, It's going to come up out of it. God's going to change even it. And you say, how can it be done? God made Adam from the very dust of the ground. From nothing. And he breathed in him. And he became a living soul. And them bodies is going to come out of them graves. And us that are alive and are being are going to be changed. And we're going to go up to meet the Lord in the air. I tell you, there's going to be a great reunion. Do you know that? A reunion. A reunion time. Where we're going to sit round the Lord's table. You know, one of the last things Rock prayed in this meeting was about the table of the Lord. When he'd sit in heaven round the table was one of the last prayers he prayed here. And we're going to sit round that table. And we're going to sit with the Lord. He's going to wipe every tear from every eye. And there'll be no more sorrow. And there'll be no more weeping in the presence of the Lord. Look at this phrase in this verse. For we, then again, we have. And there's all these we's in these scriptures here. And I want you to see this for a moment. Look at this. We all, unharmed, unmoved, if our house were dissolved, we should not be undone. If we were to lose this earthly tent, old coat, we have a building of God eternal in the heavens. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. See, the Christian, this is not real to them. The unsaved man and the unsaved woman has no hope. Do you know that? They have no hope. Buddha and Muhammad's religions, no hope either. Do you know why Buddha and Muhammad's no hope? Buddha is in a grave, still in it. Muhammad's in a grave, still in it. But Jesus Christ is not in a grave, he's risen. And because Jesus Christ is risen from the grave, we saw it Wednesday night, he is the first fruits of the resurrection. And every true believer that follows from him will be raised. Thank God that Christ is coming again. Praise God. God, eternal in the heavens, the new coat, the real man, the essential self, is out of harm's way. And all that's talked about is the falling to pieces of certain tabernacles. You know, Paul was a tent maker. Paul made tents, did you know that? And not only did Paul make tents, Paul repaired tents. That's why Paul talks about the house as a tent, as a tabernacle, because he made them. And this is an old tent we're in. Nothing we can do about it. It's getting older. It's getting weaker. And you do your best with it, but these old tabernacles are frail. No matter how strong they seem to be, they're frail. Many people are in a great worry or fright about the future, yet here is the Apostle Paul viewing the worst thing that could happen to him with such complacency that he likens it to nothing worse than the pulling down of a tent, which was making. You know, that's what he did. The old coat is done, a new one is waiting. He was afraid of nothing beyond that, and if that happened, he had expectations. If you have expectations this morning, if you have expectations that you're ready to be with the Lord, expectations. He was reconciled into this event. And even helped him anticipate it with joy. And joy. He looked forward to going with joy. And as her sister Jenny said, and Rock often said, when the Lord comes for me, I'm going. I'll be going. You see, the Bible says it, and we sing it as well. This old world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. You know, there's many men that go when they're young, and we can't explain it. Jack Coe was 38 years of age when he went. He died in a hospital. He took a real bad cold and he took pneumonia. There's even stories that they killed him. Now, I don't know how true they are, but you can read it yourself. The stories that they killed Jack Coe because Jack Coe had such a ministry from the Lord. William Branham was only 56 and he was in a car crash and he went to be with the Lord as well. 56 years of age. And how can we explain these things? A.L. old as well, was a young man when he went, and they'd say he died an alcoholic. Then you hear the story that that was a lie. That people did that to discredit his ministry and discredit his name. I don't know the truth and all. That's only God knows. But I know one thing. There's a great cloud of witnesses around us this morning. According to the book of Hebrews, a great cloud of witnesses. There's many that's went on before. Paul was absolutely sure of these facts. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 to 52. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And you see, we're born, we're in corruption. How many knows we're in corruption? We're in corruption because of the original sin. We're born in sin. We're sheep in iniquity. You know, there's a real mystery in the Garden of Eden. That's why it wasn't an apple. It was an act of sin. That's why our bloodstream's corrupted. Our bloodstream's corrupted. That's why my blood being shed couldn't save you. Your blood been shed couldn't save me. An animal's blood been shed couldn't save you or me. And in the Old Testament, it never saved them. It covered their sin for a season. Their conscience was never made clear. They had to continually sacrifice. But when the perfect sacrifice came, all them what was in part was no more. And there was one that came with a perfect bloodstream. The Lord Jesus Christ. God's blood. It wasn't Jewish blood. It wasn't Gentile blood. It was God's blood that flowed in his veins. Do you know why Jesus is unique to every other man? And do you know why Jesus is unique to Buddha and Muhammad? I'm going to tell you why. To every single man that's been born of a woman, Jesus Christ is absolutely unique for this reason. And hear this this morning. Because death had no claim on him. Death had no claim on him because he knew no sin and he had no sin. But death had a legal right and a claim on every single man and woman because we're born in sin and sheep in iniquity. But because Jesus Christ went to the cross in our stead, in our place, he loves you this morning and he died for you on the cross. And he took your place. He become us, that we might become him. Not only did he die to save us, but when he shed his blood on the cross, when the first blood cell broke, the very life of God, the Holy Spirit, was released. That the life that was in him could come in me and you. Hence, Romans 8, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken, make alive your mortal body. It's the Spirit of the Lord that quickens us. Do you ever see an old fella and he gets up and he starts to preach? And he could be a very old man or even a young fella. And the Spirit of God can move them. And you can't believe it. They don't seem their age because it's the Spirit of the Lord. When Samson took the gates off in the Bible, and the web tons of weight, it wasn't Samson's strength that done it. It was the Spirit of God in Samson that done it. When Elijah run before the horses for I don't know how many miles, it wasn't Elijah in his own self that was fit to do it. It was the Spirit of God in Elijah. And maybe you're sitting this morning and you're wondering how you're going to get on and how you're going to do it. You'll never do it by yourself, but the Spirit of the Lord helps you. Hitherto hath the Lord helped me. That's our hope this morning. Hitherto have the Lord helped me. Thank God for his help. Paul was willing to leave this in the Lord's hand, and when he saw it to be possible that he should be numbered among the blessed dead who die in the Lord, he did not shrink from the prospect, but he had hope. He had hope. Paul had hope. Hope, and we have hope. And Romans 5 tells us, hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Oh, you might say, brother, I'm saved, but I've never, the Holy Spirit's never moved on me. That's a lie. The very fact that you're saved tells me the Holy Spirit's already moved on you.
Because you cannot come except he brings you. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. You know another scripture says, no man cometh unto me except my Father draweth him. And the Spirit of God drew you and drew me to come. God's Spirit's already moved on you. And I want you to think of this morning, just as God's Spirit moved on you. Maybe for some of us it was many years ago, and we got saved. It's that same moving and that same Spirit that can keep you and help you in the days and weeks and months that lie ahead. The same Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in John 14, he's our helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. And we need to be praying for the help of the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm missing things this morning because I don't want to be long, but in this verse again, verse 1, our earthly house be dissolved. You see this provision here. Look at this provision of which the Apostle Paul knew. Surely he knew it. Paul knew that he would not have to open his eyes in a naked condition and cry, woe is me. Paul knew that he would never do that because Paul knew he was clothed with the garments of righteousness of Christ. He knew he had a new tent, a new coat waiting him. Now let me read you this wee thing that I read about the tent. When a tent is newly placed, it is a frail structure, very frail compared to the structure of a house. Very much like a feeble frame that we live in, which can be crushed to the dust in a moment. Paul felt anew that his body could not need any great force to overthrow it. It was like an old tent or coat. Our bodily strength is nothing really. No man can predict how long he or she will last in this frail tent or live. We have heard over recent weeks, months, of so many going to the grave because of many different things. And with a dad, it was cancer. With a brother Ian, it was something different. But there's other people, it could be something different again. And you have a man, and he wasn't that old, and he was I'm not sure the type of sport it was, but this fellow was so fit. And the Iron Man, who's ever heard of the Iron Man? They ride a bike, they swim in a pool, they do everything. This fellow was as fit as a fiddle. And he climbed out of the swimming pool and dropped dead. And the doctors could give no explanation. Then they found out that he had a rare condition in his heart that they didn't know about. And he didn't know about. And he just dropped dead. Just a young man. Things can happen in life unexpected. But while we're here, we have time and we need to make inventory to know we're right with God. And I'm going to say this morning in case somebody would hear this message. Any man or woman that could say they love Big Rock and my dad and the different brethren, others that's went on as well, a brother Davy Jones and different ones that's went on to be with the Lord over this last time and years. If you want to see them again, you need to be saved. And this is the thing, if you're not saved, you'll never ever see them again. Because there's a gulf fixed between. That they that offense cannot come hence. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the startling thing that people don't want to know about. I tell you, God spoke to people at the funeral. We've heard of about five that's got saved. But I know of others that rang me personally and they were so close to salvation. But I knew the devil would try and steal it from them, and he did. You see, when the sower goes to sow and he sows good seed, while he's sleeping, somebody else sows. Not the devil. And he'll come to that man and he'll say, well, not today, do it tomorrow. What will your friends think? Your friends will laugh you into hell, but they'll never laugh you out of it. Seek the Lord while he can be found. Call upon him while he is near. Today is the day of salvation. I tell you, the Spirit of God's calling even this morning. Call upon Him while He is near. Brother Yule, you know, years ago when we used to go around and give our testimonies and things, and Brother Yule can tell you, you know, when you hear the truth before you see Him, and that anything at all, your friends will take you away for a wee drink or a wee this or that, and the devil wants to kill the conviction. So that you're no more concerned, and you put it off for a day and a month, and then the years passed. But the Bible says, seek the Lord while you're young. You know, it says, when you're old, another will lead you. Another will lead you. May I tell you, before in this service, I remember opening my eyes and looking up into my father's face. My dad always had a great beard. I tried to grow one, but it wasn't much of a beard. But my dad had a beard. Brother John here has a good beard as well. But my dad had a great beard. We used to swing on it when we were young fellas, and that's not a story, that is true. We could have swung on my dad's beard. That's a good beard he had. But I remember looking it up in his face after it's hit with a car and got up over the hill and looking at my dad. And my dad, to me, was the strongest man that ever lived. Still is. Nothing will ever change that for me. I know we're watching the world's strongest man, but you see, they're working with stuff that my father never worked with. What comes out of a bottle. Let's be truthful about it now. Garbage. And who knows the years they're taking of their lives with it. That's the truth. But yet with all in my father's strength, and all the strength he had, I never ever thought I would see the day when I would carry him. And I carried him in my arms. My own father. You see, this old tent's weak. This old body at its best, frail. You could be up on top today, and you could be down tomorrow. Now, I'm not preaching you gloom and gloom. I'm all for the victory, but we have to tell the truth. We need to be ready for the Lord. I tell you, last night, everybody had a New Year's resolution. I'll eat less. I'll do this less. I'll do that less. My dad said to me, you know, one of the things he regretted when we went to Australia, he tried to lose weight too quick. And he regretted that. He said that was a mistake. Not matter if you have a six pack or one of them ones like I have, an O pack. That'll not count in the Lord's eyes. What'll count in the Lord's eyes? What's inside? What's in here? And they can make all the New Year's resolutions, and I'm going to tell you, before the end of this week, most of them will break it. But the resolution that I would say to you, and for me to make this day, is to try our best to get closer to the Lord this incoming year. See how close we can come to the Savior. Spend more time with Him. Fall in love with Him over and over again. For He's so precious. Praise God. Let us come and bow our heads this morning. We're going to do communion in a moment. Well, every head's bowed and every eye closed this morning.